talking with the experts.
Now, you have grown your business by 90% in 1 year. And, you know, congratulations to you. But what methods did you use despite losing your audience on social media?
Yeah, so we've nearly doubled every year for the past 4 years in terms of our revenue. And I think what I talk about as to why is find something that works and then double down. If it's working, go for it, back it, back a winning horse. And so what we have found is that our style of events that build up to the point where people want to join our community has worked really effectively and worked really well. So we just need to go more into that rather than trying to reinvent the wheel all the time. And we're always improving what we do, so that helps as well. And we're always tracking what we do, so that really helps at the same time too. So the way that we've used social media is we've been repeatedly present. We've increased our output. So every single day I'm posting something, and I'm making sure I'm giving people an opportunity to engage with the next thing.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. This is where we discuss great ideas to take your business to the next level. How do we know these ideas work? Well, it's because we're talking with business owners who are using these ideas. Business owners who have years of experience and expertise. All things business by business owners for business owners. And now, here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson. Talking with the Experts is all about business by business owners for business owners. You can find it on all podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And don't forget to follow and share and ding that bell on YouTube so that you know when our next episodes are being released. Now, today, it's my very great pleasure to introduce Lewis Crompton, and we're going to be discussing about social media and how we can use it to scale from 10K months to 100K months. And I told Lewis before we came onto camera that I'm going to be listening very intently to his answers to the questions so that I can get some key points out of it and perhaps scale my business to that height. Now, Lewis has been trading the financial markets for over 10 years. He's taught by Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and then headhunted to teach for them. Lewis is a leading voice in the industry, championing safe, systematic, and profitable trading techniques. He created and developed the Star Trading Method, which empowers you to trade in under 30 minutes per day, generating exceptional monthly returns. Well, Lewis went from working in retail and being in debt to trading profitably, debt-free, and able to leave his retail job after just 7 months. Oh, good on him. Lewis has used those trading profits to invest in other assets, buying and renovating his own home, giving to charitable causes, and traveling the world on a whim. I've got to get in his suitcase, I think. He now considers it his calling or his duty to help others achieve what he did through trading and attained financial freedom and an improved quality of life. Lewis hosts the Star Trading podcast and is an accomplished speaker, having spoken at hundreds of events. He has shared the stage with the likes of Robert Kiyosaki, Kim Kiyosaki, JT Fox, and Wim Hof and Roxy. Now, I'd like to welcome to the podcast Lewis Crompton. Lewis, welcome to Talking with the Experts.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, tell me, why did you go from working in retail to the financial markets? How did that happen?
I think we've probably all had one of those moments in life where we have a bad day, our boss speaks to us like a piece of garbage, and we just think, what am I doing with my life? And so I think I just had one too many of those days in too short a period of time, and I realized that the career ladder I was on was kind of propped against the wrong wall and it wasn't going to be going anywhere I really wanted to go. So I looked at my boss, I looked at my boss's boss, and he'd lost all his hair with all the stress, and I knew what salary he was on. And I was like, I just don't think that's worth it. So I decided I wanted to do something different. And that's when I started looking into other ways to generate income. And that's where I discovered investing, and that's where I discovered Robert Kiyosaki and read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, as I'm sure a lot of us have. And that's where it kind of kickstarted my journey into the world of investing and into the world of trading.
And we all have those days when we think, our boss is really just not our friend. And you're right, you have one too many of those days, and you think, oh my God, I just can't do this anymore. I've got to find something else to do. And sometimes it's not so easy. So I'm glad to say, have landed on your feet, which is a great thing. It's not the case for a lot of people. However, I think if you take the right steps in the right direction, and probably find a financial advisor or perhaps a mentor or coach that can lead you on the path to enlightenment, so to speak.
Yeah, completely. And I think my whole ethos is similar to yours. It's about empowering people. And for me, if I want to empower someone, that has to come from a position of education so they can do things for themselves. So I've definitely had people over the years offer to give me money to invest for them. And I don't like that because if something was to happen to me, I was to be hit by a bus, or when I'm traveling a lot as I do, the plane was to go down, they're back to square one. They're not empowered. They don't know what to do. And I don't like that. That makes me uncomfortable. And I want them to feel empowered. I want them to know what they're doing. And also, it only takes them 30 minutes a day if they use my method. So it's not taking a lot of time away from them. They just need to put a couple of months into learning, about an hour a day, and then they're good to go.
Wonderful. Now we'll just get back to our topic at hand, which is how can we make all this money on using social media? What are the risks of just building your brand on social media?
Yeah, and it is a big risk just building your brand on social media. I had a situation a couple of years ago, the day before I got married, actually. I'd put a post onto my social media saying, I'm taking a few days off, obviously, to get married. Although I have been at weddings in the past where the bride and groom are filming things and posting them onto their social media. And I just find that very strange. Have a moment for you and your family, please. So I posted that, and then I have a lot of copycat accounts, or at least I did back then, who tried to be me so they can scam people out of money. And they obviously saw this. I didn't think it through. They obviously saw this and thought, right, this is a good opportunity because Lewis isn't going to be paying attention. And they all basically banded together and attacked my account and said I was the fake. And so when they all banded together and said that I was a fake, the algorithm that is all powerful decided I was a fake and shut down my account and never gave me it back. And that was on Instagram and on Facebook. So over the past 10 years, I'd been building that social media platform and it just completely disappeared. It was wiped out in an instant. And it was from not just a business perspective, but from a human perspective, with all my travels, not everyone uses WhatsApp and things like that. So a lot of the way I would stay connected with people was on Facebook. So all of those friends have now disappeared, including friends in Australia, including friends in America, in all over the world. So if you are in Australia and you're listening to this podcast or somewhere in the world, then I've not cut you out of my life. I've just lost you. So please find me again.
I think
Yeah.
there's a lot to be said too for having to verify your identity when you open an account. I think a lot of the social media platforms and things like Google and a few other places I've been now, actually you have to verify your address. You have to give your phone number, and then they'll send you a text message so that you can verify that that's your number, and an email address where they'll send you an email, and then you have to click on a link. And I think,
Yeah.
I'm not sure that you have to do that with Facebook because I haven't opened an account for a while. However, I think there is a lot to be said for this verification process where it stops these scammers and from taking over other people's accounts, because there's no way they can be verified because they don't have your phone number or details.
Yeah. I do think there's a lot to be said for that. So my This happened just before Instagram were rolling out the verification process, and they hadn't rolled it out to me, even though I'd asked for it, but because this was happening, and they didn't really care from what I could tell, even though people had lost a lot of money to these scam artists, which is a real shame. And Facebook, I was verified because you could purchase that verification early on, and that didn't make a difference, unfortunately, in my situation. So yeah, it was not fun, not fun at all. So I say that from the perspective of social media is incredibly powerful and we should use it if we want to grow our businesses. However, relying solely on it is probably not the best way to go. And so the more you can bring people off of your social media into your other forms of marketing assets, such as your email list or a different social media as well, the better it's going to be for you in terms of a position of safety. It also means you've got multiple touch points with people in different ways and different different styles, which are going to allow them to consume more and more and more of who you are, build that like, build that trust, build that know factor. And that is what enables people to invest with you. And by invest, I mean purchase. Or for me, it's invest because they need to invest in themselves, really, into their education and their learning. And they need to trust me to be able to do a good job. So the more touch points I can have with them in different ways, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point. You don't own anything on social media, but you do own your email list, and that can be transported from platform to platform. Whatever email platform that you're using, you can just download and then reload, and it's yours, and it's yours forever. So, in the case of what happened to you, at least you've got those followers that are interested in what you're having to say to them.
Yeah, completely. And they people want to hear from you. That's why they follow you. And we know on social media as well that just because they're following you doesn't necessarily mean that your content is going to be showed to them. So we have to find other ways to enable them to see us. And as many ways as possible is best.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm finding on my own business page, I've got about 600 followers, but I don't get any engagement on any of my posts. So whether my posts are being seen, I have no idea. So I mean, it says it's showing in people that don't that non-followers, and then they've got followers, and my non-followers is getting more views than my followers, and that doesn't make any sense to me.
No. It is strange. I think if we're not getting a lot of engagement, then we need to think about the type of content we're putting out there. One thing I've been realizing a lot recently with social media is you almost have to go down a kind of a clickbaity kind of route so that you shock people into thinking, oh, I'm going to pay attention to this video. And I think one thing that's really helpful is you probably want to attract people into your business who are similar to you, who have similar interests to you, who have similar values to you. So when you're scrolling through social media, what makes you stop? What is it that's made you stop? Is it something someone said? Is it a particular type of visual? And recreate that within your own content so that you cause people to stop and actually observe your material. And that is something which, if you start to do that, you'll start to train the algorithm into showing your stuff to more people. Because think about it from a business perspective. What do Instagram, what do Facebook, what do TikTok want? They want people staying on their app for as long as possible. So if you're providing content to them, which causes their users to stay on your content and therefore stay on their apps, then they're going to be far more likely to show your stuff to other people. And it
Yeah,
really is
that's
an
a good
art
point.
form.
It absolutely is. Yeah, I've tried over the years to perfect it. I don't know that there is any particular way of doing it. I think some posts get years gone by got a lot of engagement and others didn't. And but the ones that got engagement didn't make any sense to me. It was just something really random, so I don't know.
And sometimes that it is the random ones that make a big difference. I mean, I had a reel go viral on TikTok, sorry, on Instagram. It's got over 300,000 views and plays and loads of comments, and it's just me chatting away in a car about what I do. I was like, how is that, of all the effort I've put into some of my reels, how is that the one that's got the most engagement? So what I'm trying to do is reverse engineer, what is it about that video? Why is there something in the way I've said it? Is there something in the words that I've used which has triggered a reaction and a response, which has caused people to want to comment both positively and negatively, and has caused them to want to share it and ask questions. So, yeah, the more engagement you can drive by being slightly triggering, to be honest, whether that's intentional or unintentional, then that is going to help boost your social media.
Good points, very good points. Now, you have grown your business by 90% in 1 year, and congratulations to you. But what methods did you use despite losing your audience on social media?
Yeah, so we've nearly doubled every year for the past 4 years in terms of our revenue. And I think the what I talk about as to why is find something that works and then double down. If it's working, go for it, back it, back a winning horse. And so what we have found is that our style of events that build up to the point where people want to join our community has worked really effectively and worked really well. So we just need to go more into that rather than trying to reinvent the wheel all the time. And my nature is to reinvent the wheel. I love being creative. I like coming up with new things, but that's not always helpful necessarily. We're always improving what we do, so that helps as well. And we're always tracking what we do, so that really helps at the same time too. So the way that we've used social media is we've been repeatedly present. We've increased our output. So every single day I'm posting something, and I'm making sure I'm giving people an opportunity to engage with the next thing. So we start off by using masterclasses. It's a free resource. They can come to a masterclass for free. It's a bit of a taster. They figure out what we're about, who we are, what we do, how we do it. And then we have a historically, we're starting to look to change this. So because I'm wanting to add a different product offering as we've grown, because it would be more scalable. But we've been doing a 5-night challenge, which allows people in and around their working life to attend a more in-depth training where they get feedback, they get coaching. And off of that, they then may choose to join our mentorship community. So that's kind of our process. So content, email marketing, paid marketing into a free masterclass, from that free masterclass into a low ticket paid for 5-night training, introductory training, where they do get really good quality coaching and feedback. And then up from there, mentorship, which is where we see the real magic start to happen for them. And so it's very methodical, it's very step by step, it's great quality the whole way through. And we started doing, when we first started doing these, we were doing just one masterclass a month. And once a quarter, we would do our 5-night challenges. And as they were working and growing, and we kind of perfected it a bit, like I said, we doubled down. So now we're at the point where we do 4 masterclasses a month and at least one 5-night introductory training every single month. So that's what's allowed us to grow from making just 10K per month up to making 100K per month. And within that as well, when I started out, my product offering was only £500 for what I would train people on, but there was no mentorship. So mentorship didn't exist at that point. And then we introduced mentorships, which could be higher ticket. And the fees gradually increased on those as we got better and we had a far better track record with what we do and how we do it. And so if you want a 10K month, a fantastic way to do it is to have a 10K product. Done. And then you only need to, sell one of those per month to hit a 10K month. Now I don't have a 100K product to hit my 100K per month, but I might work on it. I might start trying to create a 100K product. And we do have 50K products now if people want to work with me one-to-one for a longer and more intense period of time, because that is how much my time is worth now because of the way that the business has grown. But really growing your business is making sure your product offering matches the value that you give. And I think a lot of us are guilty of, because we want to help, because we want to serve, because we want to empower, we actually devalue our services and what we do. And that's been a real internal working for me to increase that. Because I used to do everything I do for free back in the day. And I was like, oh, yeah, exactly right. And it's because we have a heart to help people, but that doesn't actually serve them. Like I trained as a counselor, I was a therapist, and I did loads of stuff for free, and I did paid therapy work as well. Guess who got the best results? The people who paid for it. Not the people who didn't pay for it, didn't turn up to their sessions, didn't engage in the sessions properly, just use it as a bit of a chit chat rather than actually doing the work. And so I've taken that learning into what I now do in terms of investment training as well.
Yeah, great points, Lewis. I mean, I think, I used to do a lot of stuff for free. Someone had, that I knew that knew someone that knew someone needed a hand with something, and could you just help them with this? And yeah, that's no problem. And I, of course, because I'm a heart-centered person, I was, glad to do it, but it wasn't getting me anywhere. And now I've developed a podcast program that's online, and I'm thinking, is it too expensive? Is it not expensive enough? Why aren't people buying it? What's the issue? Is my marketing not right? All these questions I have. And I think, how can I, as a business owner, get the message out there that, podcasting is like the next best thing to sliced bread. And why aren't you doing it? It's hard, I guess, for people to understand. And it my mind boggles. And I think, you about valuing yourself and your services. Of course, people tend to not charge enough because they don't think that their time is, because there's a lot of time goes into developing a course.
A
And
lot of time.
And so, have I undervalued my services? Is my course too cheap? I don't know.
And there is lots of different components that lead into a sale actually occurring. And what we really need to do is build in as much value to the outcome that we want people to get. So my outcome is very simple, very obvious. I want to make people rich. That's what I want to do. Why? Because I believe when we're wealthy, we have better lives, we have happier lives, we've got less stress, we become better parents, better partners, better lovers, better leaders, better all of it, because we take the financial stress and pressure off. So my big mission is to help 1 million families live with less stress and more fun through financial empowerment. Because definitely in the UK, the way that our government are making decisions about money is really negatively affecting people's ability to have a very standard base living. And that angers me. It really angers me. So people need to be financially empowered, and people need to ultimately be making some more money. And that is what I offer. And that is worth investing into themselves so they can get that knowledge and that skill set.
Yeah, that's a really good ethos to have, Lewis. I think, empowerment, I mean, empower is my word for the for 2025. And I want to empower, not only empower myself, but I want to empower as many people in my proximity and outside of my proximity that I can, because I think the world needs a lot of love and attention at the moment.
It
Definitely
really does.
does. Now, tell me a little bit about your Star Trading Masterclass podcast.
So we launched a podcast about 18 months ago, and it's because one of my students, who's become a very good friend of mine, she was bullying me and saying I needed a podcast, and she wouldn't let it drop. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I have the time. I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know how I feel about doing that. And partly because when you do a podcast, you do kind of expose yourself a little bit. You put yourself out there. Same with social media. But what I will say, if anybody is wanting to boost their social media, doing a podcast is a great idea because you create so much content for it as well. So yes, she wanted to do the podcast. Well, she wanted me to do the podcast. I went, okay, right, I'll do the podcast if you do it with me and you're my co-host. And she went, oh, okay then. So what we did is at the start of her mentorship, we started the podcast. So season one is tracking her journey, as long with other stuff as well, but tracking her journey and her progress through her own mentorship and through her own trading journey. So you watch her each week get better. You watch her struggle at points. You watch her get feedback and get to the point where she's now trading very, very successfully and very happily. And then we launched season two. One thing I would say is don't go too big on season one. We decided to do 20 episodes for one season, and now we feel trapped in this behemoth of having to create for every season 20 episodes. So we managed to get 20 episodes for season two. Did some whilst we were traveling around the world as a community. So one of our episodes is in Morocco, which is quite fun. And yeah, it's great fun. And it's such a brilliant resource for people to find us, but truly get to know us because we are who we are. And we let our personalities come across on the podcast. So I'm sure watching our podcast has put people off joining us. And I like that. Because if you don't like me and we're not going to get on, you're not going to do very well on my mentorship program because we spend a lot of time working with you. So yeah, it's a brilliant tool I found, and a lot of fun to create as well.
Wonderful. Now, Lewis, do you have anything else you'd like to share with that audience today?
Yes, I am a big believer that no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what has happened, you can choose to make decisions which will make what happens next the best life you could ever possibly have. So I want to encourage and empower people to make powerful decisions, not necessarily easy decisions all the time, to create the life that you truly want, because it is possible. You can do it. It comes down to making the choice.
Wise words, very wise words. You can find Lewis on Facebook in one of his in his group called the Star Trading Now. He's on LinkedIn as Lewis Crompton. His website is startradingnow.com. His podcast we've discussed. He's on YouTube. He's on Instagram. Two channels. One's the Star Trading Community, and one is with Lewis Crompton. Is there any other places we can find you, Lewis?
Normally in a wine bar, you can find me. Rarely at the gym, and walking around my lovely little area by the river. But online, which I know is what you really meant, we do have a Facebook group as well. But the best place to find out where to get me is probably on our website, yes.
Wonderful. All right, Lewis. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us today. I've appreciated your comments and your little tips on social media and how I can better my place in it or on it.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye bye for now.
Bye bye.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com and be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time.